This is the SML Podcast.
I have no filter.
You don't. Not at all.
No filter.
But anyway, what's up, everyone?
Filter, who needs a fucking filter?
Exactly. Precisely.
Sorry.
That's how you start. What is up, everyone? This is Joe Cam.
I'm Chris.
This is the SML Podcast number 72, I think.
70-something.
How the hell have we done this many?
Persistence. And nothing better to
and
do.
Boredom.
Yes.
Anyway, a very special guest on the show today. Someone who's actually, you know, important and worthwhile in the world.
We've had some of those.
Like one or two. But today, we have someone who is on TV.
That I wasn't on TV, I can tell you.
Me
that.
Neither.
I mean, like, unless you're counting, like, 6 o'clock news, I think I was on TV once.
I think my elementary school got selected to do, like, Good Morning America when...
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Anyway, special guest, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what the hell you do, and why we are lucky enough to have you on the show?
Okay, well, my name is Kayla LaFrance, and I was on season 2 of TBS's King of the Nerd, and I went on to win the whole thing, so I am the king. No need to bow. Don't worry about that.
I'm sitting down, so I'm not going to...
It's difficult to bow when you're sitting.
Well, I had back surgery. I have an excuse.
Yeah, that works, too.
And, that's why I am here today, to maybe talk a little bit about that and talk about all things nerdy, because I love getting down and dirty with things nerdy. And, that would be me.
So now, you're king of the nerds, not queen of the nerds?
Schematics, you know, who cares?
Okay.
I'm okay with being called king or queen, whatever, you know. Actually, I do believe Queen Elizabeth, the first, originally went by King Elizabeth because she felt it gave her more power. So
you're just compensating.
How do you know I drive a truck?
It was just a lucky guess.
I'm not butthurt when somebody calls me a king. It's no big deal.
Okay. Well, do you have, like, any other members of your court? Like, do you have, like, a jester of the nerds and, like, a, I don't know, like, royal taste tester of the nerds?
Well, I do joke around a little bit with Xander that because I'm the king of the nerds that he could be my queen.
Oh, haha, I get that one.
And definitely, if anyone was going to be the jester, it would go to Brian. But easily, those two are definitely some of my best buds from the show.
Queen of the Nerd. That's fantastic.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you could... You got to have a full courtship, right? So that would work. That's going to be the next season.
Yeah.
They're not just going to have the king of the nerds. They're going to have, like... You know, you can be... You could be, like, the royal chauffeur of the nerds.
Well, you guys saw the 7th episode. I don't know if I would trust any of those nerds to be the driver other than me.
True. But he mentioned another season. Wasn't it just announced that a 3rd season is coming?
That is correct. We got funding and we got the green light to go ahead and film season 3. Just earlier this week, they put a cap on casting. And so right now they're looking at all the applicants and trying to find the top nerds.
Nice.
I screwed up already. I could have been a part of it and I missed it.
I don't know if you would have won King of the Nerds.
I don't know if I would have won, but I definitely would have been a fun contestant.
You would have. That would have been kind of insane to watch.
I did audition for, I think it was The Real World when I was younger. I mean, like, I don't want to say, like, oh, when I was younger, I'm 25. So, I mean,
back in the day.
A couple of years ago.
Me.
Yeah.
When I was your age, I was on The Real World.
I wanted to be on Road Rules because I wanted to travel in an RV.
We didn't have a DVR. We had a VCR. We had tapes and...
You know. A couple years ago, I had some friends. I was living in Nashville, and they came through Nashville to do a Real World, and it's probably been a good 4 years or so. And my friends kind of, we all wanted to go just to see what it was all about and what it was like. And so we all went and stood in line and did one of those little interview powwow things for real world. I mean, none of us were serious. We just wanted to know what it was like.
Yeah, it's a life experience. You just kind of want to know. That's kind of like that's kind of how I am with, like, you know, I would totally audition for, like, how was your audition process for that show?
I had a very unique experience getting on to the show because I had originally found out about the show even before they had been picked up by a network. And so, and this was season one, and I went through the process, I submitted all the stuff, and I was asked to come down to LA for the final selection for season one. About 5 or 6 days later, I got a phone call and I was offered an internship at NASA Ames. So I very respectfully declined to be on King of the Nerds season one. And so then when season two came about, they asked if I was still interested, and I went ahead and went with it. So I kind of went through the process twice, and it was definitely a 2-year process before I found out I was going to be on the show.
Nice.
So what is, like, the, you know, what does the process entail? Did you essentially just have to be like, well, you know, this is what I'm like, this is what I'm into, you know, I like the color blue. like what is it really about?
The first thing that you do is you just kind of fill out a little bio. I just did like about a 2-page bio with a handful of photos attached to it. And it just, hey, this is who I am. This is how old I am. This is where I'm from. This is my geeky and nerdy interests. This is what I'm doing in school. You know, I just kind of gave just a quick, you know, little mini biography of what really makes me stand out as a nerd. I then got an email back saying they wanted a video, and they said I had a 10 to 15 minute time limit on my video. This year they only had a 3 to 5 minute time limit.
Wow.
But so I had my friends come and they filmed a video for me, and we sent in the video, and then it was that was October of 2011, and then it was sit there and twiddle your thumbs until May of 2012 when I finally heard that back that I would be coming to LA. And then, yeah, a few days later, I turned down the opportunity.
Nice. I'm sure this should have been asked first, but for people who don't know what King of the Nerds is, because I'm sure we have a listener or two out of our 3 or 4 who might not know what the show is, do you want to explain a bit what King of the Nerds is?
King of the Nerds is a show that's on TBS, and the concept of the show, it's a reality TV show, it's a competition-based show, and they pit 11 of the nerdiest people that they can find, and it's more of a comedy. They try and avoid drama, and they try and make it very lighthearted. It's definitely not an insult to nerds. It is supposed to cherish the nerd culture and to celebrate it. It's directed by Curtis Armstrong and Robert Carradine, who were they were Booger and Lewis Skolnick on Revenge of the Nerds.
It very much embraces the positives of the nerd community.
See, and that's honestly, like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I did not watch the show at all, but it was because I thought that they were going to be making fun of it. Like, I thought the whole premise of the show was like, oh yeah, look how fucking nerdy these people are. Ha ha, this is hysterical. Like, and I'm like, I'm not about that, so I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, don't get us wrong. There are definitely some, like, over-the-top nerdy people on the show.
Oh, dude, I understand. I understand.
Some who are, like, nerdy in the bad way.
Yeah, like, you know, like the ones that, like, won't stop asking you questions when you're in line to get into a booth at, like, PAX or something like that.
Or like the
ones, oh my God, what do you think that you're going to be talking about? Like, this is going to be the greatest thing
ever. And, I think you know better than us what kind of horrible people were on the show.
No
comment.
I can
only imagine. Let's not incriminate anybody, Joe.
You know, for the most part, I love the nerds I was with. We definitely became a little family afterwards. Curtis was super close to all of us nerds, and we all refer to him as Papa Nerd. And, Curtis and Robert actually came up with King and the Nerds. They're the executive producers. And when they came up with the idea and they were pitching the show to different networks and to production companies, they kept saying, you know, the whole concept is basically taking the ending speech that the Lewis Skolnick character does in Revenge of the Nerds, which is like basically saying, it doesn't matter who you are, what you're nerdy about, just be proud of the fact that you're a nerd and let's celebrate being a nerd. And so they've really, they keep that focus the entire time. And one of the guest stars that they have a lot is George Takei. And George Takei, when they asked him to come onto the show for season one, you know, he would only do it if it was guaranteed that the show was not making fun of nerds, because he owes his career to nerds.
Yeah.
And so
I love his Twitter feed.
Oh my gosh, I know.
I'm just saying, his Twitter feed is fantastic.
Well, just the man in general is fantastic. I've had a few opportunities to meet him throughout my con-going career, and I've met his husband, Brad. And those two are just a hoot. I love them both dearly. They're really amazing guys.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, with the people that I've, you know, met and come in contact with through doing the podcast and going to conventions and all this other kind of stuff, like, yeah, I feel so much more comfortable and proud to say that I'm into nerdy stuff, because I mean, given my other like profession, like being in so close to music and stuff like that, like, do you get made fun of for it like a ton, but I'm just like, man, you know what, fuck off, man. Like, that's I don't care if I'm gonna sit at home and play Diablo for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of my day. Like, that's what I want to do, and you know, that's how I enjoy it, so fuck off.
Just gotta enjoy your life. Live how
you know
happy.
For 7 years, I worked at an ice rink in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was many times the only girl that lived there, or not lived there, worked there, felt like I lived there. I was playing hockey, I was reffing, I would do everything I could, and everyone knew I was the rocket scientist. I was the kid working on their thesis while I was working at an ice rink. And so everyone knew I was nerdy. I had the NASA hockey jerseys, and I had sit there and yell Klingon war things at them and stuff, and it just became kind of, yeah, it was patronizing at time, but at sometimes it was also really fun to go up to one of the refs who just had a stupid call and be like, look dude, that was not rocket science, I should know. You know, so you're right. I mean, it's definitely, in this day and age, it's a lot easier to be comfortable being a nerd and being in your own skin as a nerd. It's definitely not easy still in high school and junior high to be the nerd.
Oh yeah.
But once you get past that, it becomes so much easier to be it. And the way technology is, and how big cons are in the con scene, it's becoming more mainstream in a way to be nerdy.
That.
And it's like, yeah, whatever, you go do your thing. And being a hardcore sports fanatic, I also like to point out that really there's no difference. There is no difference.
There really isn't.
There's no difference between me going into a Predators hockey game. I have to wear the right outfit, the right shoes, the right hairdo. Like, I'm not superstitious, but it's just, you have to do it. And
that, and let's,
no,
let's be honest, like, fantasy football is just D&D for Josh.
It is.
Like, it's straight up. Like, I've played D&D. I've enjoyed D&D. I can't get into fantasy football. Like, it's just, it doesn't do anything for me.
I've like, done it 2 years because I was invited by my friend Pappy twice to fantasy football. The first year, I should have won the entire season, but when I swapped my kicker out the one time, it didn't take it. And if I did, I would have won that match and then also won the championship. But I went from pretty much should have won the season. The next year, I was absolute bottom. So that was a nice little turnaround. But both years, my team were the Jizzly Tit Flaps. Because I was trying to think of the dumbest name possible. So Jizzly Tit Flaps.
That might be my new favorite name ever. Like, I think any time that I have to use an alias, like, Jizzly Tit Flaps is now going to be.
Like, I was originally thinking that I could have gone with, like, Twat Flaps or something like that, but that would have made sense. Tit Flaps. Make no sense.
Yeah, they're like, if they had wings or something,
yeah.
I don't know.
Flying Tits.
Flying Tits. I don't know. It could be a thing. That could be a thing. And that could be your logo. Just like boobs with wings.
Flying titty. We'll name that our episode this week. Jizzly tit flaps.
Jizzly tit.
No one will know what the
fuck. Please don't.
Okay.
Please do.
We have to keep it somewhat respectable.
I don't want to be associated with that.
Jizzly tit flaps. Maybe that's just what I'm going to call you from now on.
Me?
Jizzly tit flaps.
Nice.
Josely tit flaps.
Josely tit.
Something like that.
Oh, my God. So, back to the subject that we actually were on before.
No, let's talk about jizzly tit flaps.
With this show, I'm sure people ask this about all reality shows, but, like, how much of it is real and authentic, and how much of it is kind of, like, scripted, or the producers are like, hey, maybe we could get a little argument started here? Or is it all pretty much what we saw was what happened?
What you see is what happens. You know, the only time that we were kind of maybe scripted was when Curtis and Bobby were announcing a new challenge. We'd have to run out the door maybe three or four different times so they could get the different camera angles. But other than that, like, it really is. It's just pure out. The drama that you saw was a drama that was there, or maybe even less of what actually was there. You know, they might cut back some there, and, you know, they might change where a comment is. Like, I thought I made that comment about this, but other than that, like, they don't do a lot of editing. They really show us, or you guys, who our personalities are and our characters are, and other reality shows I can't vouch for, but I can vouch for King of the Nerds that they do try and keep it as authentic as possible. And anybody that watched the show who are my friends, like, they got a kick out of it because they all were sitting there going, yeah, that's Kayla. I mean, if anything, I didn't react as strongly as I normally would have because I knew I had cameras in my face.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's probably more like a subconscious kind of thing.
Yeah,
like you're not going into it thinking like, oh, well, I'm going to tone myself down a little bit. It just kind of happens because you're just like, well, there's a lot of shit going on. Like,
no, based on what you've said and how everything is authentic, I would normally ask if Zach's friends laughed at how he acted on the show, but I'm going to guess he doesn't really have any friends.
That's harsh.
Me and my wife watch that show every week, and every week we're like, Jesus Christ, I fucking hate this guy. Can they please get rid of him?
That's not nice, Joe.
He was like the asshole of the season.
Well, you gotta have
the
one.
Psycho asshole.
Right? You gotta have one. It's a TV show, Joe. They gotta have one.
Yeah, they gotta have
one. They gotta have one.
Keep those ratings up, but...
It's a TV show. Come on.
I'm still sad Mary Beth went home as early as she did. I thought she was cute.
Yeah.
Mary Kate's an awesome person.
Yes. That's all right. That was the only thing that I think personally myself is, especially when we had some very aggressive actions towards us from, like, Zach.
Aggressive.
My normal reaction, being someone who is a hockey player, my normal reaction usually is to maybe be a little bit more aggressive back and stand up.
Check them into a wall or something.
Well, there's a no touching clause. Oh. I didn't want to get disqualified. And the other thing is, when I wanted to get a little frustrated and I felt my temper building, I'd just think to myself, look, employers are watching. You need to get hired. Don't do anything stupid.
See, I want to do something stupid.
No, I don't.
Every week you do stupid.
I just want to do stupid things.
Yeah. During the run of the show, I went back to Nashville to hang out with my friends and stuff because I'd moved away recently. And while I was down there, every single one of the guys I play hockey with who been watching the show, like, every single one of them is, why haven't you killed Zach yet? Why haven't you? Because they know, like, I don't, especially on the ice, I didn't put up with any shit. Like, I just kind of have a ponytail doesn't mean I'm not gonna kick your ass. Like, and I had to behave. I had to behave.
Well, I give you all the credit in the world for being as behaved as possible with Zach, because if I could strangle someone through a TV set, I think we would have done that multiple times.
I always made sure, like, my team, I always had somebody on my team in between me and him. Like, seriously. But,
so I'm guessing for the most part, everyone was friends behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. And also the cast and crew, they don't get a lot of credit. The people that you don't see, the cameramen that you don't see. We refer to them as the invisible friends because they technically aren't supposed to interact with you. But when you're sitting there with them staring at you 10 and 12 hours a day, it's almost impossible not to like have little jokes or something. And they would make faces behind the camera and stuff at us.
They're breaking the fourth wall or whatever.
Yeah. What was that?
Breaking the fourth wall or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the fourth wall. And all those people just were amazing. The nerd handlers who made sure we got to point A to point B and made sure we were
nerd
fed.
Nerd handlers.
Yeah. Normally they're referred to as talent handlers, but on our show, they call them nerd handlers.
Nerd wranglers.
And, The directors and everyone, they're just amazing people. Like, I've almost missed not seeing those guys every day because the caliber of people I worked with were so fantastic, and it was quite an amazing experience.
I want to say, considering I don't have any of the places locally around me, I want to say how jealous I am that you guys got to have Little Caesars, like, all the time on the show. Seriously, it's like an hour to the closest one here, and I love Little Caesars.
You get it every single time you come up my way to do the podcast.
Because we don't have one here in Danville or anywhere nearby.
You guys recorded out in California? Is that where you recorded it? Or where it was taped?
We were in... I think I can say that where it was. We were at a school called Occidental, which is in Eagle Rock, which is right outside of L.A., like a suburb of L.A.
Oh, that's cool. I'm really jelly because I wanna go out to California like really, really bad.
Did you really say jelly?
That's because I feel jelly.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm like jiggly and full of sugar and grapes.
I hate you.
Because I want to go to California.
No, because you said jelly.
But I
are you totes jelly?
I am totes magotes jelly.
So do you have any kind of fun behind the scenes stories? Like stuff that never made it to TV or just...
Oh, there's so much that doesn't make it to TV. Keep in mind, you know, you have like 10 to 15 camera guys. See, individual cameras following everybody around. You have cameras recording us 24 hours a day, 6 days a week.
They just sit there in your bedroom while you're sleeping, staring at you, recording.
Do they read you bedtime stories?
From about midnight to 8 a.m., they have just overhead cameras. And they're actually like the nighttime cameras, too, that do an infrared. So if we decided to have like a powwow and start talking and strategy in the middle of the night in our PJs, they can record it and use it if they needed to. So you are recorded at every moment, and you have a mic pack on. So you're sitting there, you go to the bathroom or something, you got a mic pack on, and the audio guys know what you're doing. And so it can be a little invasive when you think about it, and it's definitely a different feeling. But then you start realizing that you can have fun with the audio guys and start like whispering things into the microphone to make them giggle when they're supposed to be quiet and serious. And so it can go both ways. And it was always fun when you just magically, like, you run out of Mountain Dew or something and you just kind of whisper into your mic. And next thing you know, there's Mountain Dew just arriving on scene from behind the scenes.
Nice.
Because they're listening to you at every moment. And it's pretty fun experience. So you don't see hardly anything. You only get 45 minutes an episode. 41 to 43, actually.
Yeah, after commercials
out of
and
hours
stuff,
and
yeah.
hours and hours. God, there was so much, like, during the very finale when the teams were separate and everyone who was on Jack's side was helping Jack and I was working with my team, Katie just magically decided she didn't want to do much anymore, and they built a fort in the rec room. And so I'm sitting here, like, out of my mind, stressed, like, I don't know what I'm about to do. I'm hours away from this big God knows what, because we had no clue what we were getting ourselves into. And my team is playing in a fort. I think at one point I looked at one of the cameras and I was like, I feel like a lamb being led to the slaughter, and they're playing in a fort.
Hey, it's a thing. You gotta, you know, distract yourself somehow, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I ended up in the fort.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I was just about to say, like,
fort.
Not...
You gotta go in the fort.
I can't remember the last time I built a fort.
Did anyone attack the fort?
I think actually I ended up being the one that did.
Oh, sweet.
You like, but Godzilla stomped through it. Just
I think I threw a Nerf ball in the middle of it and made it collapse.
Yeah, but I loved watching all the Nerf fights on the show.
Oh, and you barely see any of them. There was one or two that, like, story producers and camera guys got involved with.
Oh, God.
Maybe I shouldn't say that one. But, no, it was, yeah, there was always a lot of fun. And, I mean, ooh, Xander and I had a little almost hissy fit together against each other during the robot dodgeball. They made our team look like we were so perfectly melded together. But Xander and I were constantly butting heads because he was so creative and so wanting to make everything so pretty. And I'm looking at his designs going, Xander, I only have this much to build with. I can't build with that. And we lost probably 4 hours of our build time to just arguing and having to completely start over again. And
jeez.
The only difference was it was like a high school project for us, where even though there's the conflict of it, you know, the conflict, we were dealing with it like mature adults.
Yeah.
We didn't need suckers and to be talked down. So,
it's very,
you know,
true.
Yeah. But that's just, I guess that's one of the things is there's just, they don't show a lot of the building. And I know that's been, you know, the volcano that we built, like, inside the volcano was, like, this three-part contraption that when you pulled the string, one thing dropped into another thing, which then got heavy enough that it fell into the third chemical before it would react, and you see none of that. You know, you just see this pretty painted thing in the end. And,
so, like, yeah. This Rube Goldberg-esque kind of...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a sucker... Yeah. I am a sucker for Rube Goldberg machines.
Oh yeah, I love.
I've actually
those.
Like I've wasted many a night on YouTube just finding random fucking Rube Goldberg machines. I would say that's probably, if I had to pick one of the things that's like the nerdiest, like, out there kind of thing that I do on the regular, it's probably just go on YouTube and find Rube Goldberg machines.
They're fun to watch.
Like
like the one OK Go video is like nothing but one long Rube Goldberg.
Speaking of like nerdiest tendencies, if you had to if you had to pick the absolute, like, this is the quintessential, like, thing that makes me the biggest nerd ever, what would it be?
I am considered NASA's greatest fan, and I'm officially considered NASA's greatest fan by NASA.
Wow.
Well, then, yeah, that I would say that would probably be it.
The fact that you're official, that's kind of...
Yeah. 2006, NASA had a contest to find their, it was a video contest to find their greatest fan. I was one of the 9 finalists that they selected, and then the finalists were voted upon, and I won the popular vote on their website, and was the VIP at the launch of STS-118 because of it.
So not only are you king / queen / emperor of the nerds...
Overlord of the nerds.
Overlord of the nerds.
The master.
You are also recognized as, like, the head honcho that is not technically employed by NASA.
Pretty much.
So what's your reward? Are they, like, sending you into space as thanks?
No, I
Oh, well, that's
was...
bullshit. Fuck that.
Here's the thing. I was a VIP at launch of STS-118.
Wow.
I had an astronaut escort all over Kennedy Space Center. It was an all-paid-out trip. I didn't pay a dime to get down there. They paid for my hotel. And it was. I had a VIP behind-the-scenes tour. I got to see things that most public would not be able to see because of my trip and who I was with. So I can't complain at all.
All right,
it was
fantastic.
Yeah,
that's pretty fucking cool.
That's very cool.
Like 10 feet away from Laura Bush at the launch.
Yeah, I don't
like, because I was in the VIP section with astronauts' families and with dignitaries that were there for the launch as well.
That's heavy. That's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's cray cray.
Are you going to say totes cray?
Totes cray. I can't think of anything else.
Are you totes jelly that she got
I'm
to
totes,
do all that?
I'm totes jelly because that sounds cray cray.
God, you're a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I only do it because I know that it annoys you.
Hate you.
Thanks.
So something that that got under my skin while watching King of the Nerds, I wanted to address this with you. I need to know, why did you say you hate video games?
I'm not a big gamer, and I mean,
but
when
to
you're
hate
doing
them,
what was that?
But to outright hate them.
Okay, well, keep in mind that when you do the interview, they're asking you what your feeling is at that moment. Yeah. Like, when you were losing at Pac-Man, what was your feeling? And so, yeah, at that moment, I was going, damn it, I hate you, Pac-Man! But, you know, for everybody that gives me crap for losing Pac-Man, what I do guys point out is that two full-grown, nerdy guys could not solve a Sudoku, and it took me, like, 3 minutes. So... you can't be good at everything.
True. True. Do you still hate video games?
I always will hate Pac-Man. Like, even before I had to go play Pac-Man, I had told them, I hate Pac-Man. Like, that game.
That's why they put it in there.
They're like, ah, I know how we're going to knock her down.
She hates Pac-Man. Fucking A, she's going to play some goddamn Pac-Man.
I own a handful of games. Most of the games I play are either racing games, because I'm a huge car buff, and any game that's Batman-related. If it has Batman in the game, I own it, and that's about it.
What kind of consoles do you have, or is it just PC only?
Oh, God, no, not PC. I got a PlayStation. I'm a PlayStation 3. I have a PlayStation 2 and all the Batman games on that, and I got a PSP. I haven't updated to a Vita yet.
I like the Vita.
The PSP was kind of like, I don't know, those little discs, I feel like it didn't really, it couldn't hold enough. That's just me. I don't know. I'm just,
you could mod the shit out of them, though. What's the point of having touchscreen? If I want to have touchscreen, then I'll play on my iPad. If, you know, I want to use my joysticks, that's what the point of a video game is. Not, I don't like gaming on a tablet. It just annoys me, yeah. So...
Well, it's gotten to the point that most people don't even care about the touchscreen on the Vita anymore.
They really don't use it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of games don't even bother with it.
I know when it came out, they're really pushing to try and make it a part of it. I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah. I will say, if you're a racing fan, I know you talk PlayStation, but I would definitely look into the Forza series on Xbox.
So good.
Forza 5 is a fucking blast.
Especially because you actually like enjoy vehicles.
Yeah.
Like, they're very... they're very in tune with the Top Gear guys. Like they do shit for it all the time. And I've played plenty of racing games. By far, Forza the shit.
Yeah, like, and the Auto Vista mode where you can actually like get in the car and look around. It's pretty.
Yeah, they
crazy
do
stuff.
Like a full like detailed interior like everything of the car. It's crazy.
Gran Turismo isn't too bad, though, either. The reaction, the control, especially if you have the steering wheel for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, it's very simulator-oriented. That's how Forza is as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think general public has pretty much given that Forza is over Gran Turismo now.
At this point, yes.
Like, because Gran Turismo games are taking so long to come out in between, and Gran Turismo 6 was just a gigantic letdown.
Yeah, it was a little upsetting.
I haven't updated yet. I'm still on 5.
But between Forza 5 that came out at the X-Bone launch and Forza Horizon 2 coming out this fall... if you're big into racing games, I'd definitely look into either getting an Xbox One or finding someone with it and testing them out, because I think they'd be right up your alley.
One of the racing games that I really enjoy is the Burnout games.
Oh, they're so much fun.
Yes. Fuck yes.
Oh, especially Road Rage. Oh, God, I love Road Rage mode.
God.
The whole purpose is just to go beat everyone off the road and crash them.
Yes,
oh,
yes, yes.
I mean, the graphics are the best, and the cars are these knockoff varieties, but it's so much fun in pursuit mode when you're trying to chase down the cop cars and stuff. Yeah.
Do you have Burnout Paradise on the PS3?
I do got Burnout Paradise, and I got all the Burnout games for the PlayStation Portable.
Then we got to swap PlayStation tags and play some fucking Paradise.
Dude, Paradise
is
so
good. I love Paradise.
So okay, good. Yeah, we'll do that off air.
Well, yeah, of course. We don't want you to get bombarded by like 3 friend requests.
Well, no, if she's going to tweet about the show, we might actually get listeners this week.
That's for sure.
We'll see.
I got the entire nerd army on my side that I'm going to send your way.
We're ready. We're not ready, but we're ready.
We're eager. We're ready to listen to us.
We're willing. We're not prepared, but
yeah,
we're ready.
We got that bump when we got onto bleedingcool.com, and now we're going to get the nerd bump this week.
And now we're going to get the baby bump next week.
Are you pregnant, Chris?
Maybe.
That explains a few things.
I did have a Chinese food baby earlier today.
Shut the fuck up.
I love Chinese food. I can't help it. It's like the only food I have left by being vegan. It's all
well,
I got.
That's your own fucking fault.
I can't eat most Chinese food because of MSG.
Yeah.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yep.
I can't help it. I really enjoy my Chinese food. Then Jordan makes me eat so much freaking Mexican food that I'm surprised I even have a stomach left. Ridiculous. Ugh, man. So, I know earlier you said that they got the green light for season 3. Are you going to be involved with season 3 since you know about it? Or are you just looking on as a fan?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be doing it as a fan and as a supporter of Curtis because he supports all of us nerds so much. I haven't heard yet, but I mean, they did kill Celeste during episode 1, so maybe they'll have me killed somehow during episode 1. But right now, as far as I know, I will not be involved at all, other than just being a big cheerleader to help support the season 3 nerds and help make the nerd family grow.
Well, I know midway through season 2, the one challenge, what, you pull the stick and the marbles fall. What was that game?
Kerplunk.
Yeah, I know the zombies in the bottom there were all people from season 1, so maybe we'll see something like that for season 2 members in season 3.
It's hard to say. The one thing about season 1 that season 2 does not have is the fact that season 1, about half of those nerds all live within an hour drive of LA.
That'll do it.
And so it's called cheap.
True.
The rest, except for Xander, the rest of us live, I'm probably the next closest, and I'm in Washington State. Everyone else is Midwest or East Coast, and that's a lot of airline tickets and a lot of hotel rooms. And
true.
I am not sure if they're going to pony up the money to do something like that. You know, I don't know. We'll just have to wait.
Obviously, depends on what their budget is. So
yeah.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's difficult to tell when you're just starting doing stuff. So
yeah, I understand. They bring in nerds, you know, it might just be the season 1 guys again because they're all in the area, you know.
Well, they'd have to fly you in. You're the friggin' reigning king.
Yeah, I mean that'd
be bullshit if they didn't, really.
Yeah. If anybody's going to go, I would assume it would have to be you.
Hard to say. you know, it's hard to say what they have planned right now. I know of nothing, so.
Or maybe she does, but she can't tell us.
She can't say anything.
Dun, dun.
Let's not incriminate anybody.
I know.
Because we're good at that.
We are. We have had people say some crazy shit on the show before.
Hey, Rock Band 4 was confirmed how many times on our podcast now?
That was confirmed by us, though. So I don't think that's official.
Shh. They don't know that. They don't. Nobody's going to go back and listen to every episode.
No one's going to go back and listen to any episode.
I don't. I'm on them, and I won't do it. That's so much content.
I don't
it's
like
not
the
even
hosts.
Funny. They're assholes. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
They have some good guests on sometime, though.
It's only good when the guests are on.
Yeah.
And then they just like ignore the guest for like 5-10 minutes.
Just talk
and
between themselves. Yeah, and like ridiculous. The guest is just sitting there snickering at them. And just
man, I don't. How are they still doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah.
So. Enough about our shitty show.
Exactly. So I've got a question for you.
All right,
Even though I've already had like a bajillion questions already. If you were to be a part of season 3 and you had to come up with a challenge for the next wave of potential kings, I can't say it plural, the potential Kings. king of
next
the
nerds.
Nerd. What do you have you ever thought of any kind of you know things that you would want them to do?
The only thing I could think of
I wonder if we lost her. She's still there?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Kayla, did we lose you?
Let's see. There it goes. Yay, thanks, guy. Let's try again.
You guys there?
Yep, there we go.
That was so well timed that we ask you a question
and then just boom,
and then
you're gone.
Just lost you and we're sitting here like
what the heck just happened there? Okay.
Are you thinking of an answer or
No, actually I was talking as I guess you were redialing.
Probably. Yeah.
Possibly.
It literally cut out as soon as you were like, well, that was it.
Okay, well, let me say it again. The one thing that I can think of is the one thing that I did not get to participate in. It was the one thing that I, going into the show and hoping that the Nerd Eliminator would be, is a room escape. And a room escape is one of those things where there's 20 different clues and you have to figure them out in the right progression. So, like, the picture on the wall has the clues that tell you how to unlock the safe, which gives you the coin, which you use to do the screw. And it's just this huge series of following and going along this logical theme to try and get out of the room. And
yeah,
that's kind of what
really cool.
Going into it, I wanted to do something like that. I was disappointed when I never got to do that because, how cool
tell Curtis, season 3, make that shit happen.
So that's the only thing I could think of, and you know maybe there's a few other things I could come up with, but I'm not much into thinking about the challenges and stuff. That's Genevieve comes up with all the good stuff, and that's why she's working for King of the Nerds now.
She is
it was announced last year. She is one of the challenge producers. She comes up with challenges for the nerds. So yes. She came up with Robot Dodgeball was one of the challenges that she threw at us nerds last year, and she's working on the ones for this year, and I can only imagine some of the stuff coming out of her mind right now.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so totally distracted by what you have on your TV right now, Joe.
Oh, God. We have the Summer Games Done Quick Twitch stream going on where they just, like, race through a bunch of classic or newer games, raising money for Doctors Without Borders, and they're doing a race between two players playing Octodad, which is just, it's like Goat Simulator and how fucking weird it is.
Like the hyper physics, like, but not physics related kind of thing. Like the physics are just so out of control that it's barely like playable.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like ripping through this right now, and it's kind of blowing my mind.
I still love the premise of the game is that you are a dad.
You're an octopus.
But you're an octopus, just like dressed in a suit, and nobody realizes that you're an octopus.
Like you're just supposed to be like a regular dude.
Yeah, everyone thinks that you're just a guy, but you're a fucking octopus.
But you're an octopus.
With your tentacles flailing around and your big octopus head, and it's just weird. And Chris is enraptured.
I'm absolutely infatuated by this right now. Because I saw some of the game before, but actually watching people like trying to speed run it right now, this is hysterical. Like, this is very, very funny.
I will say, if you're listening to our show and you haven't checked out the Summer Games Done Quick, I believe they're going until this Sunday, so you still have time to check them out and donate, because it's an awesome cause. We donated a couple bucks yesterday while they were playing Rygar.
Oh, Rygar.
Rygar speedrun.
Yeah, I would love to try and get into speedruns and stuff like that, but I just don't have the patience. I really don't.
Meh, video games.
I know, right? I was waiting for it. I was trying to plant the seed.
Fucking nerds in your fucking video games.
God, you guys are such nerds.
You know, some could argue that video games are one of the least nerdy of the... Because, come on, what 14-year-old kid out there doesn't have one or two or more gaming consoles?
It's not about the consoles. It's about the games you play.
Yes.
If you're Gears playing Madden and Halo and Call of Duty, that's not nerdy. But if you're sitting down playing shit like Guitaru Man,
or you know, if you're
like
watching
Mr. Mosquito,
if you're watching people speed run Octodad, like that's pretty bad.
That's,
Joe,
that's along the nerdy line.
Joe, we might have hit a new low.
Why?
Because speed runs of Octodad. I don't know. I think this is fucking fantastic.
I don't know. Our episode last week was pretty low.
Well, that's because E3, man. Like,
yeah.
So, speaking of E3, let's segue. Have you ever been to any kind of like big conventions like E3 or that's slightly gaming related, even though you're not like, because they do, like, they have some cosplay elements and stuff like that. And, like, have you ever been to any of the bigger like conventions in that sense?
Well, if I remember correctly, E3 is industry invite only, so I don't think that one's really open to the public.
Yeah.
But I go to Dragon Con. I'm a big... I've been going to Dragon Con for years. That is my con of choice. I also go to ones in Nashville, like Geek Media Expo. I go to a lot of the Star Trek creation events. And... but Dragon Con's my big one, and I do cosplay. I have a fully weaponized Batgirl. I don't take her out a lot anymore now that cons are really getting uptight about having real metal on your suits. But, you know, all the rules are like you have to have foam swords. I feel it takes away from the craft.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Like, I'm not doing it... I'm not dressing up just to dress up. I'm dressing up because I want to make this legitimate. So, like, my Batgirl that I have, I carry a 22-inch asp with me. It's an expandable baton, and I got licensed to use it. Nice. I can carry it legally.
Wow.
I have SWAT breaking and raking tactical gloves that have the PVC piping inside the knuckles and stuff. Like, these are all legitimate. Everything I have is... sanctioned either police or security guard wear, and it's all part of my costume. And anymore, like, I just get in trouble, or you'd have to piece tie it, and it's like, well, then what's the point of dressing up in a functional Batgirl costume?
Is that what the picture of your Skype thing is?
Because
I'm looking, because I see this baton like kind of like across your forearm, and I'm like, yeah, that could do some damage.
It can't. But most states have laws, and the laws say that California might be one of the exceptions, and New York. But most states say that they're only illegal with intent. And I'm not going to... Posing for a photo for 20 people is not intent to injure. It's not going to be plausible in court. It's, you know, there's... I'm not... I've pulled it out in front of cops. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's a costume. They get that. Yeah. And I'm not being aggressive with it. And I really want to make a Klingon costume. That's my two next costumes that I'm working on. One is a Christian Bale Batgirl. So with that black, the armored type. And then,
but then
also
you'll have to talk like this the whole time.
You have to smoke like 3 cartons of Marlboro in an hour.
No, because Batgirl has never really been known for changing her voice. So if you listen to like Tara Strong when she's Batgirl, there really isn't a change when she's Batgirl and when she's Barbara Gordon. And so I can stick with that as my motif.
Well, but there you go. She's got it all figured out, Joe.
Yeah.
I want to, well, I'm a nerd, come on. I also want to do a full-out Klingon costume, but part of my Klingon costume, it would be making sure that my, it would be full leather and also armor plating like you would actually have in the movie or in Star Trek. And I'm not going to carry around like a mini Batleth. I want to carry around a 43-inch steel-bladed Batleth. There wouldn't be an edge on it, but it's going to be a real one because that's how to make the costume authentic. That's how you make it functional, and that's what I strive for. So
because
anymore,
you don't
I don't
fuck
really
around.
Get a-
well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do it,
go
big
or
do
go
it.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm losing a lot of respect for cosplaying in con personally, just because I don't want to piece tie my gun if I'm going to go as Nathan Fillion's Captain Mal, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it takes it a little bit away because that, you know, that's not why I cosplay. I cosplay because I want to engross the character and envelop the character's personality and stuff. And I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars and months upon months working on a costume. I'm not going to make it foam. I'm not going to make it soft and rubbery. It's going to be legit. It's going to be real. And you're going to be scared of it.
Yeah. When I see like best of cosplay things on different websites and they have shit, like someone's there posing in a badass outfit and then they have like a giant sword, but with like a pink tie on it to show you that it's been checked in. Like, it just looks fucking stupid.
Oh, just carrying the badge around when you're in costume, trying to have the badge visible but then hidden during photos, that alone gets hard.
Yeah.
And so, I've really gotten a little it's so frustrating now because people, like, my gauntlets are real metal. They're not edged. It won't cut you or anything. But, you know, you can't get it inside anymore. And it's like, that's just, then what's the point? For me, it loses why I do it and the fun part of it for me.
Yeah.
It's that I go for functionality and I go for realism. And if I can't include that, then it takes away cosplay for me. So I'll still make the costumes and I'll still go downtown with a friend and find an alley and do some, you know, a photo shoot. But it might not show up at a con if the con's going to be really strict about what kind of weapons I have. So
that's really unfortunate. I for the longest time, I wanted to do a cosplay of the newer version of Smoke from Mortal Kombat. I mean, I don't know how the fuck I would do that hair because I don't have, like, I would have to have it, like, spike backwards and white. So, I mean, like, I short of spray painting my head, I don't know how I would really be able to pull that off. But, yeah, I mean, like, I've thought about it, but then, like, you know, stuff like that, it's stuff that, you know, you have such a hard time legitimizing, like, no, I would really need to have, like, a metal face mask.
Yeah.
Because that otherwise it's just not going to look good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if I'm going to do it, that's how I would want to do it. I mean, like, I don't want to half-ass it, so.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a secret that I'm not much of a cosplayer.
But false.
The one time
I was just
going to
say, you did.
Once in my life, I've been going to, I think I told you about this, Kayla. I go to MagFest every year.
Uh-huh.
This coming January is going to be MagFest 12, I think.
12, 13?
I think 12. And I'll have been to every single one of them, and I cosplayed one time, and that was as fat retired Zangief. So I shaved my balding head into a mohawk, had the giant beard, and I just walked around in a pink robe and Angry Bird slippers.
Oh my gosh.
I saw the picture of it, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
I thought you nailed it.
You'll have to add me on Facebook so you could look at my pictures.
It's hysterical.
But it is, yeah, that's the only time I've cosplayed.
I love cosplay, which is kind of a misunderstanding because a lot of people think I'm not into cosplay because I sat out the LARPing challenge. And I sat out the LARPing challenge for another reason, which actually doesn't get shown on the TV show.
What was the reason?
Exclusive behind the scenes.
Well, quite honestly, it goes back to why I was avoiding going Zach. and not wanting, we would have to go head to head because we both would have been warriors, and my team and I
decided.
And you
would want to just beat the piss out of them.
And so I don't want to sit there with a real weapon. Not, well, it wasn't a real weapon. It was a foam sword. But my team and I decided it would be best to put Chris in that situation and not me.
People are screaming, he's been dead for 3 minutes. Stop hitting him.
Well, no, what really got to me is I don't remember them showing it on the show, but Kevin Sorbo made a comment when they had to judge the two warriors, Chris and Zach, and Kevin Sorbo made this comment about neither one of them were warrior-like. And, oh, man, had that been me, I would have turned on that hockey player, Kayla, and just walked right up to him and been like, they want you to get your ass down here and show me what it's really like. Like, oh, man.
It's I was like, come on, pussy, so I'll hard. Fuck you up, Hercules. You ain't got
I
shit.
I totally would have, too. Like, oh, it was so hard to sit there. Like, I was just like, crap, I won. Oh, because anytime a guy says something like that to me, I just turn on that hockey player mode, and I would have gone right against him. It's like, you want to know what the difference between me and you is? I have one. You are one.
Ooh. That's a good diss.
Yeah, that's my favorite cheese in hockey.
That's good. I'm down a guy because I had testicular cancer. I like to joke about it in such that if someone doesn't like quote unquote man up and do something, I'll be like, man, I only have one testicle and I still have more balls than you.
Nice. I make comments about, well, you know, it's funny that my balls are made of titanium. What are yours made out of? And I don't have any. But there's some good puns against guys that can really hit low. And had Hercules said something like that to me, I totally would have been in his face so fast.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. No, I like cosplay. It is fun. I have a lot that on the list that I want to do, and I think one of the other ones I want to ultimately do, because what I like about cosplay is the engineering side of it. And you walk through the Home Depot, and you're looking at things that are for plumbing, and you're looking at it like, that would work really well on an astronaut's EVA suit, and you're just... You're finding piece A, B, and C and adding it together to make Z, which nobody else would have ever thought to make. And that's what I like about it, the challenge behind how to adapt things of normal variety into this whole new world and this whole new concept. And I do want to one day create an astronaut Batgirl kind of costume.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, because I've never seen one like that. And, like, when I do my Batgirl, I always use light blue instead of yellow just because I like to stand out and I don't want to be the same as every other Batgirl out there and put a red wig on. It's like, no, even though I'm going for Batgirl, I'm still going to add my own flavor to it. And it's like, if I were to become Batgirl tomorrow, how would I do it? I'm going to wear steel-toe, military-grade boots, not stilettos.
Yeah. I like people that actually like put their own flair onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I can't imagine fighting crime in stilettos.
You fuck that noise. Come on.
Okay, so when...
But my calves look great.
It makes my butt look gorgeous.
I play hockey. It, all you have to do is skate 12 hours a week and you'll get to do it. Nice. And you don't need to wear stilettos. Go watch Batman Dark Knight Rises. And the scene where they're on the roof, it's Selina Kyle, and it's Batman. She's in her, slow-mo it, frame by frame, and you watch Hathorne walk in stiletto, stiletto, stiletto. The second you start seeing the guys move in, she's in flats, instantly. And she stays in flats the rest of the fight. And it's like, exactly, it's impossible to kick ass in stilettos.
Yeah, oh, fuck geez. That. Fuck that. I have a hard time walking in them anyway. I have a hard time finding them in my size.
Well, I don't want to go down this road anymore. But I tell every guest we have on, if you haven't been to MAGFest, you need to get to MAGFest.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it will blow away any other con or convention you've gone to.
You've never been to DragonCon.
No, but we've had people go to PAX and then come to MAGFest, and then they're
PAX
like, yeah,
is overrated.
I could see why MAGFest, people go to MAGFest.
MAGFest is literally just like a giant party.
It is.
Dragon Con. You guys, you come down to Dragon Con with me this year, and I'll show you guys a real con.
You come to MAGFest in January, and we'll show you a fucking party.
We will show you
a... We won't show you a convention. We'll show you a fucking party.
Huge party. Where is Dragon Con?
It's in Atlanta every year.
Atlanta.
And it's over, is it Labor Day? Yeah, Labor Day, that's in September.
Pappy's gone to Dragon Con.
Has he?
Yeah.
Well, September. Uh-oh. September what?
Oh, true.
It's going to be this year. I think it's end of August, 1st of September. It's over Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's different. Because technically, when we could do like a small little bit of news that we'll sprinkle into the episode today. Technically.
Did they come out and officially say yes? Because last I saw it was just like,
Hashtag 8.5.
Yeah, a little mini MAGFest event in September.
Are you talking about Doctor Who?
No.
They
MAGFest.
It has been hinted that they are going to do, because MAGFest is yearly, beginning of January, right?
Yeah.
Beginning of January.
Although it's end of January, this coming January.
But they're hinting that they're going to do an 8.5 in September at the last location that they did at the before they moved
before
it.
Before they exploded in growth.
Growth.
Okay.
Yes.
Gross.
No, not
so
growth.
They exploded in growth.
So they're hinting more and more and more that this is actually happening, and they actually announced
some dates
today. Just telling us to keep our calendars clear.
Right. So, I mean, why would they... So, and it's a weekend.
Yeah.
It's like 3 days. So it's like, yeah, dude, it's 8.5.
Yeah, we know it's coming now and when it's coming, but they still haven't officially said...
It's coming. It's
that
coming.
It's here.
It's coming. It's coming.
I'm coming.
Well, they got a lot of competition if they're going to do it that weekend, because like you got Dragon Con going on about the same time, and you also have PAX the same weekend as Dragon Con.
Well, I know that the MAGFest one is like middle of September.
It's middle of September, and it's supposed to be, from what I understand, it's supposed to be a scaled down, smaller version.
Yeah.
To accommodate like
to the point
the
where like the first round of ticket sales might be an invite kind of deal.
Yeah, it might be an invite only thing.
Just because they're like MAGFest has grown in the past couple of years from like 2,000 people to over 10,000 people, and just exploded in size.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah,
looking to...
Yeah, Dragon Con's done the same. Like, Dragon Con, I think my first year I went 31,000, and then, like, the last year they were, like, over 60, and it's only been, like,
damn,
4 or 5 years. Like, they've just doubled in size the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, I've heard of Dragon Con plenty of times.
Yeah.
I've never gone. Same thing with, like, Otakon and KatsuCon and stuff like that. But
yeah, the only thing I do is MAGFest, and then I did Anime Mid-Atlantic twice, and that was because they wanted me to bring my Xbox 360 down for Rock Band. Because
you have the be-all, end-all Rock Band collection.
Close, yeah.
Pretty
okay.
Much. You have multiple hard drives full of stuff.
Okay.
It's enough.
It's
enough. Let's be honest. So
yeah,
because you're not really like into games. Normally, we ask our guests before we close out the episode what you're playing, but I don't know if you'll be playing anything.
Are you playing anything?
Well, you know, actually, I haven't played in about a month, but I actually am pretty big on DCU Online. Like
I've
love my Batman stuff. I love my superhero. And so I I have several characters on DCU Online. I've been playing Portal 2. I got that recently.
Nice.
I love it when they hit the $20 greatest hit level.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So much cheaper. And yeah, I just don't have a lot of time to play right now. I'm looking for a job like every other fresh graduate out there, and I am working on a project with the Nerd Army, and I got some other things up my sleeve that I'm about to release as part of my way to support King of the Nerds in the future. And
any
so kind of
news you
want to
debut here?
Quote unquote debut.
Well, we might have to just talk about that. We'll see.
Curtis, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Curtis doesn't even know what I'm working on. I keep teasing him about it, that I got something up my sleeves right now, and I think I'm starting to annoy him a little bit because he doesn't know what I'm doing. So.
Yeah, it's a police baton.
No, with him, I'd rather pull out my 8-foot Australian whip or something. That'd be more fun.
Jesus. That'll do it. That'll leave a mark.
I do not want to get whipped again.
Again.
It hurts so bad.
Again. I don't want to know what it's like to begin with, so I don't want to ever have to be able to say that sentence with the word again at the end of it.
Well, amazingly,
no one's ever hit me with it, but when I learning all the different types of patterns that you can do with the whip, I have taken, you know, I've had it wrap around my neck at one point. Take my
hat
right
off
my head.
At all.
I've hurt myself a few times. Ah. I learned never to practice my whip without long pants on. That's for dang sure.
Oh yeah, screw that. And don't do it indoors.
No, well, mine's an 8-footer, and so I have to have like a good 20-foot radius around me, else I'm hitting everything.
Jesus.
So it's not a small whip. I got it when I was in Australia.
I want to go to Australia. I feel like everything that's there is trying to kill me, though.
It is.
I feel like that's
it pretty much
I would
is, yeah.
Is it? All right, scratch that. I don't want to go to Australia.
No, it was pretty awesome. It was a gift from my homestay family. They gave me a red Australian bullwhip, so.
Very cool. So,
yeah.
I believe we have, do we have an email?
We actually have an email this week, which is a surprise for us, from frequent writer Randall Drew, friend of the show.
Randall Drew,
because he draws and he drew. He says, hey, Chris, don't forget to pimp your brand new Twitch channel that Joe was too lazy to come to last night.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, I didn't even know what your Twitch address was. So
I
wasn't
on my Facebook. It was there.
That means
right
I didn't look at Facebook, or it didn't show me because the Facebook app on my iPad sucks.
Yeah, it does.
He says he'll pimp his Twitch .tv/FlowZaxRollins. I don't stream games much, but I do stream a lot of art, including game-related art. I'll be streaming a lot more starting next week as I begin work on the backer rewards for Beyond Mode 7, which apparently is about ready to go off to get printed soon. So we might be getting
Very cool.
those shortly. What have I been playing recently? I've gotten back into Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and finally getting around to beating the main campaign, as well as playing some local multiplayer with Jesse. I also finally beat both Zelda, Link Between Worlds, and Pokemon Y. Hooray for 3DS.
There it is.
Love always and forever, Randall Drew.
Yeah, he came in. I started my Twitch stream last night. Just to give it a test, just to see what it would look like. And
what did you play anyway?
Diablo 3 Hardcore.
Nice, because I saw you ask between that and Counter-Strike, and that was the last I saw of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was Counter-Strike and Diablo 3 are probably going to be the two games that I'm going to stream the most. I might do some random stuff in between if I feel like it, but probably just going to be Counter-Strike and Diablo, mostly Diablo. Mainly just because I'm getting ready for seasons, because once seasons come out, like, I'm only streaming Diablo. Period. Like, I will not play anything else.
Yeah, I know. That's all you ever
play. It's all I ever play. Just to make things interesting for the Twitch stream.
Are you going
to
give the address or what?
It's twitch.tv / KROTH 1134.
Very inventive.
So, Croth, the name that I use for the video game remix project. And 1134, what you put into a calculator and then turn upside down for it to say hell. So, yeah. Croth 1134, Hardcore Diablo, maybe I'll die on stream and lose all of my progress. So it should be fun.
Okay.
Yep. So, Joe, what have you been playing?
Not much, really. Just after the whole back surgery, I haven't fired up much. I tried that, the Zombie Driver Ultimate HD,
yeah, that
whatever
looks cool.
It was. That was fun. I feel bad saying this, but I've still been playing a lot of Angry Birds Epic.
You son of a bitch.
I just it's hard to sit down and really concentrate on playing a game when your back is as fucking sore as mine is.
Well,
you know,
find
because
something
I have
other than
screws drilled into my spine now.
Find something other than Angry Birds.
But after someone on I don't know who, because it didn't come with a name or a gift card or anything.
Oh yeah, this
fucking sent me El Chavo cart for Xbox 360. I might have to fire that up and see if it's as stupid as I thought it would be.
I wanna see that before I'm like done packing stuff up and getting ready to drive home.
Fucking El Chavo cart.
That looks absolutely hysterically
a kart racing game based off of some Spanish cartoon series that I like. The first language in the instruction manual is
Spanish. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I'm excited. I think so, it's going to be terribad.
I don't know what I've gotten myself into, but I guess that's what happens when you jokingly add that game to your Amazon wish list and then say, hey, my friends have been asking, so if you want to get anything as a get-well present to me, here's my Amazon wish list.
And they
and
just went
someone
to town.
Did it.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, for myself, I've just been playing some Diablo.
You
I borrowed
Diablo? Shut
I know, right? What the fuck? I borrowed Super Mario 3D Land World thing for the Wii U off of Joe. I booted it up once and played it for like an hour, but I'm going to be playing it. Hopefully, I'll be playing it at some point in the next couple days with... I want to get Jordan and my neighbors, so we get four people playing at the
same
time.
Sucker.
So that should be fun.
But lastly, I'm hoping soon I'll be able to hunker down, and after we swap PlayStation names, I could play some Burnout Paradise.
Burnout would be
with
fun.
Our esteemed guest, Kayla.
Yes, that would be fun.
Bringing it back.
Prepare to cry.
Oh,
probably.
Dems are fighting words.
Man, I haven't played that game in so long, but it is so fun.
Me either. Nicole and I played it nonstop when we were at Nerdvana. Like, we were constantly playing that game. But then it turns out they didn't have the rights to show the game, so they never showed us playing the game.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, what all consoles did they have in Nirvana?
And they
what
had
kind
a
of game
box.
Selection?
But it wasn't, I don't think it was set up properly because I couldn't even play Batman Arkham on it. And we rarely played that video game except when we wanted to go to YouTube and look up videos or something. That's the only time I played that one. And then there was both a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360.
Nice.
And there was like Soul Calibur. And
I love Soul Calibur.
Burnout Paradise, and that was pretty much the only games that we played and that you'd see us play. For the most part, we were playing stuff like Dominion, excuse me. Dominion and what's the one with where you're trying to build your powerhouses or something? But we had a lot of board games that we would play, and a lot of us just hung out in the Radio Shack room building electronics and stuff because we had full reign of that as well. So
yeah, that room looked awesome. To just
yeah,
build shit
especially towards
random.
The end, the less players that we had, the more stressful it got, and the harder it was to hide from an individual. So I would just stay locked up in the Radio Shack lab. If I wasn't having to record something or do something with the challenge, I would be in there soldering a new contraption together, and just I spent hours and hours and hours in the Radio Shack room hiding.
Nice.
Well, do you have any last words for our listener?
Yeah, we've been going, what, over an hour now? So I guess we'll wrap this up. We appreciate you coming on to the show. You've been a blast to talk to.
Thanks.
I'm sad Glenn couldn't come on.
And now the internet hiccups.
Internet hiccup. Are you still there, or are we losing you again?
We're probably losing her. All I hear is like,
The internet has great timing at shitting out on us.
I guess, I mean, that is a good thing, to be honest. It would be worse if it was just like mid-conversation. Yeah. Just like, fuck, that's a thing, so.
Is she back?
There she is.
I'm back. I think it's my Wi-Fi. Sorry about that,
Yay.
Guys.
That's okay. It's like at the best timing, though, because it's just like, instead of like mid-sentence, it's like after we've had a complete thought. Like, it's great. At least it's courteous enough to do that.
But I figure at the end of every episode, we play some songs. And since Glenn couldn't join the conversation this week, I think I'll play a couple of Glenn K songs.
Oh, we lost her again.
God damn it.
Oh, no.
We're never getting final words from her.
We will. I'm persistent. I'm going to call back.
Do, 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 do.
I am persistent. We'll see what happens. Whoop, 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 whoop. We shall see.
Yeah, I think a couple of Glenn K songs would be a good way to end the show this week.
Makes sense. You're calling the shots. I'm letting you call the shots.
I'm calling the shots. You're calling the Kayla.
I am. Truth.
I don't think it's calling.
There it is.
I am sorry, guys. I guess everyone's trying to get on the internet in my neighborhood right now.
Apparently.
Well, that's not bad since we're pretty much wrapping it up anyway. But again, agreed. We thank you for coming on. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
Just be sure to tune in to season 3, King of the Nerds. It's going to be a pretty awesome group next year. I'm pretty sure of that. And just don't be afraid to hold your nerd flag high.
Do they have any kind of potential release date for season 3 yet?
As far as I'm aware, they're going to be sticking with the end of January, mid-January release that you've seen in the last 2 seasons.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Awesome. So we're going to play some Glenn stuff?
Yeah, we're gonna play some Glenn since he couldn't join us on the show. We'll
awesome.
Listen to some of his music instead.
All right.
It's like he's here in spirit.
Yeah. Do you have a message for Glenn?
No, he's going through a lot with his knee right now. I'm going to be nice.
Oh, what happened to his knee?
You know, he works with me, and I don't want to give him too much crap because he's a good guy, and I tortured him during all the King of the Nerds stuff, so that's pretty... I'll be nice.
See, this is the perfect time to give him shit, though.
It really is.
Plus, it gives us a nice, solid ending to go right into a song.
It's
like,
great.
Fuck
perfect.
You, Glenn. Music.
I can't say that to Glenn. He's such a nice guy. I'm sorry. I can say it to you, though, if you want me to.
That's perfect.
Like, thanks for having me on your show. Now, fuck off!
So,
I'm ready.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Give it to us. Give it to us. We can take it.
I think we might have lost her again. No. Yeah, we did.
Fuck you, Skype.
She's kind of clumsy, so she wears a crash helmet. She anticipates the inevitable fall. From all the previous disasters, it's a wonder she feels anything at all. And I can understand my auntie promises and make her put a finger in the throat to her. She is a target for the irritating jerks. It isn't easy for a bullseye girl. The wolves are out tonight, attacking without reason. We'll as lost as she, but now she's packing heat and shooting like it's open sea. Runs up on and not understand what happens when you push or smash your lady to the edge. She's finding every man who ever took advantage and then casually disintegrating heads. The boys that play the games with hearts are quickly learning that they never should have tried to play with her. They didn't realize that life could be the prize just for messing with the bullseye girl. The wolves are out.
Looking unique. It's an American look, so you can save your critique. I'd say your hairstyle's old, but it's pretty sweet.
Check out my mullet. Check out my mullet.
There's people pointing. There's people laughing. But honestly, you probably knew that it would happen. So be yourself. It isn't bad to hear the feeling that you wish is that he could have. When they see your head, they don't know how to act.
Business in the front, with the party in back.
Up in Canada, they think you're on crack.
Check out my mullet, check out my mullet.
There's people staring, there's people glaring. I think it's cool that you're honestly not caring. So be yourself. It isn't bad to hear that John Stamos wishes that he could have. With your sweet Canadian mullet, you get noticed for your hair. With your sweet Canadian mullet, you stand out in a crowd, but you really don't care. Touch it. They ask if it's a wig and just how long it takes to brush it. So be yourself. It isn't bad. The hair that Captain Planet wishes that he could have.